some special words for our children and for our young at heart. Salt and pepper, peanut butter and jelly, macaroni and cheese, bread and butter, cheese and crackers, bacon and eggs, cookies and milk. Have you ever noticed that some things just go together? There are just certain combinations of things that seem perfect, right, natural, meant to be. So much so that it's hard to imagine one without the other. I mean, sure, I guess each individual thing is okay on their own, but each ingredient is truly made better by the other, brought to life, renewed. And have you ever noticed that once you've tasted or experienced these fantastic combinations, you can't have one on its own without craving the other one? Like I said, some things are just meant to be together. These easy pairs came to mind when I read our scripture passage for today from the book of Romans. At the end of the passage, we read in verse 38 and 39, Paul saying these words, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Wow. Now that kind of connection puts PB&J to shame. Our lives and God's love, well, they're just meant to be together. Our hearts and God's heart, a truly magical combination. God's love makes us better, brings out new things within us, brings us to life, and renews each and every aspect of who we are. But living a life of faith, pairing our lives and our hearts with God's, well, it isn't always as easy or as perfect as mac and cheese. Even though nothing will stop God's love from reaching out to us, we don't always find ourselves reaching back. And there certainly are things that threaten to put space between us and God, just like our passage says. Things like busyness, pride, fear, priorities that are out of order, anger and resentment and hatred, all ingredients that add a not-so-good flavor to our combination with God. There have probably been times in all of our lives when we think life would be a lot easier or move a lot quicker if we just leave God out of it, if we just handle things ourselves and fill God in on the details later. But I think we'll find, just like so many have before us, that we really are meant to do it together. While it's true that nothing can truly separate us from the love of God, I do think that there are things we can do to make sure that our connection with God stays strong. We can talk with God, not just when we're making big decisions or when things are not going our way, but each and every day. We can learn more about God and Jesus so that we can make our lives look more like theirs. And we can share their unconditional love, acceptance, and kindness with the whole world. If we continue to combine our lives with God's love, if we practice pairing up with God each and every day, I think we'll find that we don't feel complete or whole unless we've invited God along on whatever journey we're on. And when people see and experience the way we live and speak and act in the world, they won't be able to help but see who it is we're pairing ourselves up with. So maybe a life of faith, combining God's love in our lives, takes a bit more work than dunking a cookie into a glass of milk, but I think it's just as sweet. Let's pray together, and then we'll join in saying the Lord's Prayer. God, thanks for being the macaroni to our cheese and the peanut butter to our jelly. We know we have a tendency to put space between us, but we also know that you're always there, calling us back, wanting that connection with our hearts. Help us to combine our lives with yours each and every day, so that when others experience our kindness, our joy, and our hope, they too will want to get a taste of a life lived with you. All of these things we pray in Christ's name, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we need you. We need your wisdom. We need your strength. We need your guidance and your hope. So open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts, open our eyes, that we might see and hear you, and in the midst of my words, your word will be clearly conveyed. Amen. Growing up, I remember my dad saying often, "There are only two things in life that are certain, death and taxes." Well, neither of those things sounded like much fun to me, which may account for why I have chosen to spend my life searching for far more positive and life-giving truths to be certain of. Yes, we do live in a world filled with uncertainty, especially now. All the more reason to be able to identify those truths, those beliefs, of which we are persuaded, those things we are certain of, those things that ground us, give us hope, enable us to keep on keeping on, even when the odds are stacked against us and everything seems to be falling apart around us. So my question would be this: of what are you persuaded? What are you willing to put your money on? What are you sure of as people of faith. I began to make a list myself, and it started out, I am persuaded, and the first item on my list was, I am persuaded God's got this. Whatever God is, and whatever this is, God's got this. Now we're used to people saying, you've got this, or I've got this, but we don't. God's got this. I'm also persuaded that God can transform the worst of circumstances, redeem the most awful of situations, eventually, in ways that we can't fathom or fully understand, but God can. I am persuaded God is working in and through us to accomplish an awesome plan for humankind. I am persuaded God keeps the promises God makes. But I'm also aware that sometimes we twist and turn God's promises so they end up looking quite a bit different from what God had intended in the first place. Consider, for example, Psalm 105. We heard Pastor Addie read it just a little while ago. It is a psalm that speaks positively about God's covenant with Abraham and God's promise to Isaac, and connects those promises with the land of Canaan as an inheritance, a land, you might want to note, already occupied by other people, indigenous people. In our world, the coupling of chosenness with the right to real estate is at the core of an incredible amount of friction, both between nations and in neighborhoods, the source of unending wars and at the heart of all kinds of troubles between people. I can't help but wonder, is this what God had in mind? Or have we conveniently equated our chosenness with privilege and entitlement rather than with responsibility, gratitude, and a concern for those who already live in the land? I have a feeling it was the latter that God had in mind. Something else on which I am persuaded, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, you just heard Pastor Addie talk about that truth that's recorded in Romans chapter 8. Words of the Apostle Paul. And I'd like to invite you to look with me more closely at these words. Let me begin with a bit of a disclaimer. I've always had a hard time with some of the things Paul wrote to his churches that he had started. I don't connect with him on a variety of levels. After all, he was a privileged male in a society that did not value women, but I respect him because of what he endured, because of his honesty and fervor, and because he did not abandon his faith when the going got tough. The Apostle Paul we encounter here in Romans chapter 8 was clearly a mature and experienced Paul who had gone through the troubles he lists. It's important also to be aware that the promises he makes, the assurances he offers, that all things will work together for good for those who love God, that God is for us, and if that's the case, we're in good shape. These promises, these assurances, are not meant to minimize our struggles or cause us to think that in order to be Christian in a way that is right and pleasing to God, we need to go through life with a smile on our face and a stiff upper lip, always acting like we've got our act together, or at least when people are watching. No, that's not what he intended. There is no shame in being so distraught that we can't even find the right words to pray, and God's Spirit has to intercede on our behalf. There is no shame in being angry or afraid or depressed or hopeless. We are, after all, human beings. Yes, created in God's image, but clearly not God. The good news is that no matter how awful we may feel, no matter how terrible things may be, God is, and always will be, right by our side, inseparable from us. Great, you may be thinking. Small consolation if God isn't going to fix what's broken or make everything better for me. I might as well be alone. I mean, who needs such a God? Who needs such a faith? Well, let me assure you, we need such a God, and we need such a faith. For starters, God never promised to fix everything we want fixed. Nowhere. And I've looked. But nowhere in Scripture do we read that those who believe in God and choose to follow Christ will have a charmed life. A blessed life, yes. But remember, biblical blessings more often than not are accompanied by hardship, by painful learning experiences, by loss, unexpected challenges, setbacks. And as for, I might just as well go it alone if God isn't going to make my life smooth sailing, let me assure you, going it alone is not all that it's cracked up to be. We are not as self-sufficient as we may think we are. We were created to be in community. We were hardwired for our hearts to be restless until they find their rest in God. One of the things that draws me to the Apostle Paul is that he was not an armchair philosopher. Not when he wrote about hardship or pain or danger or darkness or loss. Nor did he pen his words from the comfort of some sort of ivory tower, separated from the realities of life. And I try not to preach from some sort of ivory tower. I know what a difference it makes, having the reassuring presence of God right by my side, Christ within reach. As I have journeyed on roads I never thought I would travel, and faced challenges I helped others navigate, but never thought I would need to navigate myself. I am persuaded God has a plan for humankind. But how we choose to fit into that plan is up to us. We have been chosen for responsibility. We have been chosen to be reflectors of God's light, Christ's Spirit, God's love. I am also persuaded God does not will trials or tragedies on any human being. But what God does do is to promise to be with us in the midst of them. No, we cannot be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus, and sometimes that's all we have to go on. Thankfully, that is more than enough. Of one final thing, I am persuaded. We are stronger together than apart. We is better than I. Perhaps you've heard the African-American saying that reminds us, I am because you are. Maya Angelou's words ring true. We are more alike than we are unlike. And no one but no one can make it out here alone. At the very heart of church, at its best, is embracing these certainties. And with God's help, living into them for the benefit of all. Yes, there's way more to life than death and taxes. So let's live as though we believe that. Amen.